on in. This is the Real Kipper Show.
And Bourne.
I'm also here.
I don't think I've ever done that before. That's kind of focused on me.
Doesn't hurt my feelings any.
Maybe the first week of our show you did that.
It is the National Edition. It's like trade week. Makes you do and say goofy things.
Brain is too many places at once.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. We are the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, a Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we're going to welcome in Jason Buchla, former NHL head scout. Does a terrific job writing for Sportsnet.ca, Pro Hockey Group. Mm-hmm. He's going to sum up what has transpired in all of what, 18 hours, 20 hours, half a dozen trades, Sammy, if I'm not mistaken.
We have, since the Mantha trade, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I feel unprepared having spent the last 20 minutes talking to Brad May. I feel like we missed 3 trades that may have happened.
No, nothing major. Nothing happened while you guys were talking to him.
If you weren't around for our first hour of our show, we had Brad May, former Vancouver Canuck, twice. I had to remember that. He had to remind me that. Twice he was Vancouver Canuck. Anyways, he was fantastic. If you get a chance, download us wherever you get your pod and listen to the entirety of having Brad May in our studio.
I love in-studio guests, boys.
He's just so candid, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he's a smart guy. He's an intelligent guy. He just don't last 20 years in the National Hockey League playing a role without social skills, hockey skills.
Let alone his run in media since. I mean, people want to hear what he has to say.
And just had some great thoughts on a ton, including on the Rempe Reeves and where we're going with all of that. So once again, if you get a chance, download it. It's a terrific listen. Now, where do you guys want to start off in terms of the latest of the trades? Let's just go to the Edmonton Oilers because I like the trade for Adam Henrique. I think he gives them a tremendous look as a 6-9 forward.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got skill. I mean, he's not the best skater, but he's a smart guy that finds a way to make a difference on a hockey club. I think it's a great pickup. And Carrick's another depth guy. It wasn't cheap. But here's the but.
Mm-hmm.
Both these guys don't play defense either. And I think they're still a little vulnerable there.
You know, it's interesting. I really like the addition to Henrique, and I saw a stat yesterday and forget where I saw it, but in the last 600 minutes of hockey without McDavid or McLeod on the ice, the Oilers have about like 6 goals. Like, they just don't score when McDavid and Draisaitl are not on the ice. I feel like I didn't say that very well, but they don't score and those guys aren't on the ice. So it is another guy who can give them some scoring, but also play some two-way hockey. I think Sam Carrick is a coke machine of a player. He's just tough to run into. Great, but I'm with you that it would be tough to go into it and be like, yeah, we're going to do Kulak, CeCe, Desharnais, and we're going to win a Stanley Cup. You know, Bouchard makes some defensive errors. So it's great. I like it. Deadline hasn't passed yet, but I do think that they need to make an addition or two on the back end.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. But, boy, they do score a lot when McDavid and Draisaitl are on the ice.
I mean, they score that unfathomable.
That OT goal last night was just beautiful.
You guys can vouch for me in the group chat when it was 1-0 Boston. I was like, you're not shutting these guys out. I bet on the Oilers.
That was an awesome hockey game.
It was, and
potential Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, the boys teed it up that way, and I don't think it disappointed.
No, it was excellent.
I was quite surprised that Boston had that much juice coming off a back to back.
Yeah,
on a travel.
Yeah, the Boston they just play such solid hockey, good positional hockey. They made it difficult on Edmonton most of the night. You know, as you mentioned, against a good Leaf team the night before. So
I love that tying goal, because it just shows you that they can score in different ways. Like, that was a fire drill. And there's just 3 Edmonton Oilers in the crease, pushing it over the line. I don't even know how it went in, but it goes in, right? You don't see that from the Leafs as much.
What killed me, though, is how the Boston Bruin player let the puck get to McDavid off the one draw. Like, you just, that's the one thing
deny
you take
it
away.
You got to deny
it. You angle and say, figure it out another way.
You know, you watch Boston all year long, and they had a tremendous start. And I know a lot of it was credit towards the goaltending. And it was like they're not missing a beat with Patrice Bergeron and Krejci gone. But they are missing a beat without those guys, because they don't close out games nearly like they did before when Patrice was on the ice.
They've blown eight third-period leads this year, which is very un-Bruin-like.
Eight?
Maybe nine after
maybe
last
nine after last night.
Yeah. I mean, 1-0.
And that is missing one of the best defensive players in the history.
They're vulnerable. You heard it here first.
Okay, let's welcome him in.
Doesn't
he is
like.
Our real Kipper and born NHL head scout. Let's welcome in Jason Buchla. Books, what's going on, buddy?
Oh, not much. You know, not much today. Much at all.
Like when you were actually working for a professional hockey team like the Florida Panthers, like you must have been sweating bullets this time of year.
It wasn't fun. Like, well, it, you know, it had its moments of fun and it had its moments. Like even before that, when I was in Nashville, we picked up Peter Forsberg at the end of his career. That was a great day. That was fun. But in Florida towards the end there, you know, it was like, which way are we going to go here? The day we brought Lou back, that was kind of a fun day, but I don't know, man. It's boys, it is stressful. I'll tell you something else. When you're sitting in the boardroom and you're watching all these names fall off the board, literally in front of your face, it's like, what are we going to do here? You know?
And is that what, say, the Toronto Maple Leafs might be going through right now? You're going, okay, we had some holes to fill and there's less spackle available all of a sudden.
So true. Good way to put it too, because we're getting down to the spackle here, fellas. Like it's not, I don't know, slim pickings. Like, what are you going to do? What do you want to sacrifice here? No, what do you want? That first rounder draft capital wise, do you really want to dip into your prospect pool that you do have right now for some of these names that are out there? I don't know. Like, I'm more apt at this point in time, definitely to float that first round pick than I am Minton, Cowan. I guess Niemela, if there would be a taker there. I broke down a lot of tape on Hildeby just in case somebody out there wanted a goalie and got a lot of work to do there. So we've had these conversations, right? And you get into these positions that your position of weakness only gets – it's like you're digging a grave in your backyard right now. You know, it's just getting deeper.
So where do you – Books, where do you draw the line? Does it get to the point where some general managers are sitting there going, okay – I almost have to make a trade just for the sake of making a trade, because if I don't, people are going to be all over me on doing nothing here. Yet you can't make chicken salad out of chicken.
That's the truth, right? I'm not going down that way, but I'm not tree. I don't have to front the media in Toronto. So like I'm in the background saying, you know, I'm not just making a trade for the sake of making a trade. Now, having said that, you know, I still think we got to beef up on the back end with one more right shot guy if I could. Let's not forget what some of these guys on the left did this year. Like, I feel like Benoit's game and what he provided for our team over the last couple of months especially, I feel like he did a really good job. Let's not discount what he's done and you know, devalue some of the good things that we've done. But I don't know. And, you know, what do you do in the two-hole, fellas? Do you want to keep Domi there and try and keep – because he's arguably, not arguably, for me, he's looked the most energetic he's looked all season long in the last 3 weeks. Like, we need him to be the best version of himself down the stretch. So a lot of moving parts. I'm reluctant, though, to just make a trade for the sake of making a trade. I'd rather roll the dice with what I have.
So looking at all the trades today, Books, there's been obviously a lot of action. Ask you about a couple guys who you've probably watched as juniors because they're still young guys in the NHL. Casey Mittelstadt and Bowen Byram go in a one-for-one trade. What did you make of how that shook out for those two teams?
I'm taking a breath here because I don't know if I should go down this road or not. But I'm
Go.
I'm gonna because I love being with you guys, so this is good. I'm not a Casey Mittelstadt fan. I never have been. I don't want to sewer the player, but at the same token, like this is a guy that he's a good perimeter skill player. He can produce offense. He wins between 45% and 48% of his draws. Guys, he's got like I think 27 hits or less in the entire year. And things like that stand out for me when you're going to be a playoff team. Like you accidentally run into people in the National Hockey League. You just do. It's a fast game. You just run into people by accident, unless your back is to the boards the whole time and you never play between the dots. So I'm lukewarm on him. Mm-hmm. I think he is already the best version of himself. That's my vote. On the other hand, Byram, I think, has got top pairing upside. If he's healthy, he's had a few conkies, as we know. If he's healthy, I think he can play as a one. Now, here's the thing. Where are we going to spend the money in Buffalo when we've got Power, Dahlin, and Byram in the future? It feels like the Ottawa Senators situation right now with their three lefty, doesn't it? So curious to see how that build-out goes. But on the surface, for me, straight up, the best player in the deal is Byram. It feels a need on the other side as in the two-hole. It is an upgrade on Johansson for Colorado. I get that. And they brought in Walker to take Byram's place for this year. So, but on the Mittelstadt thing there, I'm going to be interested to see when the games get really hard. There's some big teams in the West. When he starts getting leaned on, heavy, hard games and playoffs, I'm curious to see how he does.
Some general managers, like Barry Trotz, were saying that the prices were absolutely ridiculous. And now we see, what, Tarasenko go for a fourth, I guess. We've seen Mantha not get a first rounder. Like, is everybody coming down to earth here in the last 72 hours?
Well, two things. Tarasenko controlled where he was going, so you know how that works sometimes. You know, Florida's a contending team. There's a huge Russian population, guys. I'm sure you're aware of this, but in the Miami area, there's a huge Russian population, like where Bob Arofsky lives and over there. Like, so they're comfortable in that area, kind of like in New York, you know, like the Russians like to go to play in New York.
I think
as
his
well.
Family lives there too. I think he has family there.
Brighton Beach.
Yeah.
So there you go. Like it's a comfortable fit that way. And of course they're a contending outfit. So that's one. The other one, with Vegas, and this is where I, you know, I've used this term and I'm going to keep using it because I kind of like it. Like, it just makes me itch every time Vegas makes a deal like this at this time of year. Like, they take on the full salary, they take on salary at this time of year, whether it be 50% or not. And, you know, and they still have money in the bank. So that's a conversation for a different day. But it does, to your point, prove that there are deals out there to be had. If you're comfortable with the fit and you're comfortable with the capital coming back, I just don't know, you know, with Toronto specifically, all they really have, fellas, is the first, right? I know we're doing the national show right now, but specifically for them, they got the first. I'm interested to see what Vancouver does. I think they're all in on the Gensel situation personally, and I think that that's going to be an interesting one to see play out.
So the Gensel to Vancouver thing seems like it has real legs. The idea that Lindholm could conceivably be traded, like, what are your thoughts on how they've handled what looked like was maybe Pettersson insurance and Lindholm hasn't fit? How has that shaken out much differently than you thought it would?
100% it has. Yeah. So a couple of different angles on it, Borny. Like, when the Pettersson noise was starting to kind of creep into conversation, I'm sitting there going, are you serious? Like, that, like, honestly, we work so hard to bring an elite franchise player in our system. How can that happen, right? Because he certainly didn't earn that. You know what I mean? Like, some guys, they wear on you and they earn the conversation, if you will. That wasn't one. The entirety of the Lindholm situation, he started out, we've seen this before. It's like when you make a coaching change. Sometimes guys get a bump early when they arrive in a new team, fits well. He plays in the two. Now he's playing in the three. And he doesn't look at all comfortable. He's a shell of himself. Like, I have to say that. Like, you know, some of this has to be on them too, because we're talking about multi-million dollar athletes playing a kid's game, and people are paying big bucks to go watch them play. So it's up to you to play better than he has. But this whole other conversation that's creeping in now, that they can move him again. And don't forget, he doesn't have any trade protection. None. Like, technically that could happen. That, I haven't seen that in my career. Full disclosure, I've never seen that. Yeah. Like, pick up a rental and throw and obviously spend assets and then move them again. I've never seen that. But that noise is making the rounds. I've heard from more than one person today. I'm sure you guys have too. Like, even Boston's been swimming in those waters.
So, Books, when you're sitting there with your group and all around your general manager, like, how often does chemistry come up? And it's like, okay, it looks good on paper, and yeah, and then it's like, even with Lindholm in Vancouver, you know, where does it go from, let's give it time, to, is it a chemistry thing?
Yeah, that's interesting, because, you know, when you make a deal that far in advance, you're obviously hoping that there's going to be a fit chemistry wise. Like, you know, you're going to get the move in, you're going to be not living in the hotel for, because you know how it goes, Kipper. Some of these guys move in at deadline and they live in the residence inn until the end of the year. You know what I mean? So, I mean, this gives them a chance to get comfortable ahead of time in his real life. So the fit, though, in terms of the way that the Canucks are playing or trying to play right now, it seems disjointed for him. I do have to say this, though. I believe he's a better player than what he's showing right now. I still think he has good value for the Canucks down the stretch and into playoffs. I try and make the Guentzel deal and still make sure I have Lindholm somehow. How that happens, I have no idea, to be perfectly, transparent. But I still think that you give this an opportunity to run its course. He's a right shot, wins a lot of draws on his strong side. We all know how important it is to start with the puck in playoffs. So let's not just peel it all back and strip it down again. Let's be cautious with our thinking.
So looking at the Western Conference, obviously the Canucks are going to have to deal with Colorado, who also added Sean Walker and shipped out Ryan Johansson. I guess, why don't I start there and just get your thoughts on that addition. Has Walker moved the needle for you?
Walker's a... I think it's one in for one out, but they're different. Well, like, yeah. Byram is a transporter. He's got better legs. He'll front the play. He'll join as a second layer more often than Walker will. Walker can do that, guys. Like, he will do that in fits and starts. But what he'll do differently is he'll be blocking more shots, and he'll have a little bit more bump to his game. He's not a giant. He's like 5'11", but I think he's like a buck 97. So he's plenty strong enough, right? So Walker's more an interior defender, stronger. I think that really on balance, that just makes their team the same on the back end, if that makes any sense. Yeah. Really what they were looking for was the upgrade in the tool. Mm-hmm.
So Books, the other day we mentioned Hanifin. I mentioned Hanifin as a match for possibly the Tampa Bay Lightning. It wouldn't be uncommon for agents or reps to go and talk to clubs to see if there's an extension. It happened with Lindholm from Anaheim to Boston when he signed a 8-year deal with a 6.5 AAV. My understanding is that may have taken place already between Hanifin and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and now it's just a matter of whether they can get a deal done on the compensation here. So where are you on Hanifin and the potential of Tampa Bay making a long-term investment, much like Boston did with Lindholm?
It feels a lot the same to me, Kipper, to be honest. Like, it feels exactly the same. And what was interesting today, too, I don't know if you guys noticed, when Henrique's deal got shuffled around, Tampa absorbed 25 points on that contract. Mm-hmm. So that tells me something that, they obviously have a plan in place where they felt like they could pick up some capital somewhere else because they still had enough in the bank to maybe go and do what they're about to do, which I believe is get Hanifin. Here's something else for our listeners and viewers to be aware of. When a player goes to places like Nashville, Carolina, Dallas, the Florida Panthers, and, if Hanifin's going to be a one in Toronto and he commands – $10 million a year. I'm just throwing a number out there, okay? If he's going to be a one in Toronto at 10, he's a one in Tampa at 8.5. Because your state tax, your cost of living, all the rest. So what? And then, of course, the player might say to himself, well, I might take a little bit less because of the way I want to live down here too. It's like there's a lot that goes into these deals, and I absolutely believe that his representation for sure has talked to Tampa or whoever it is about, because the Boston Bruins was another team that, he's a Boston kid. I thought that they would try to make that fit. I'm not saying that it still might not happen. What I'm saying is that there's going to be a conversation had to see if there's a deal in the drawer for sure, in my estimation.
Yeah, I wonder if that fourth that they absorb for taking that money on doesn't eventually just go back to Calgary. That's like one of the assets they end up moving. So we'll keep an eye on that. I was asking about the West before because looking at the top of the Central, Colorado adds a couple of players. Dallas has added Tanev, and they brought up that Stankoven. That Stankoven's off to a really good start for this Dallas team. Can he be an NHL contributor now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. You like him.
About, you know what? And they and some of their aces that they could bring up in playoffs, fellas, the Maverick Borks, Liam Bichel, when he comes back over from Europe. He's on loan right now, but they're about to end over there. Dallas is structured and loaded. Like they got a lot of great things going on there. Jim Nill, Joe McDaniel, we've talked about it, I think, before. Like they were in Detroit before when Detroit was really good. And they came over to Dallas and all they've done is repeated the same sort of model and their depth is outstanding in Dallas. So You know, this isn't a one-year thing for the Stars, by the way. This is a long-term play. They're going to lose some veteran guys. You know, eventually Joe Pavelski is going to turn 50 and he won't be in the league anymore. But, I mean, until that happens, does Logan Stankovens put him in the lineup? This guy plays like his hair's on fire. He's hard to defend. He goes to all the hard areas. And he's an energetic, he's an infectious young player. Love that kid.
In our first hour, Books, the name Colton Parayko came up quite often for the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I'm just wondering, where are you on Colton? JB says to me, with 6 years left and an AAV of 6'5", and maybe some wear and tear on him, maybe Doug Armstrong would be very willing to get rid of that contract. And I'm saying, no, he's probably looking for something significant, and it might be rather costly. Where are you on Colton?
I think it's costly still, to be honest with you. Like, I think anybody who plays the way that he plays and in his mold. So listen, it's really a two-pronged question, isn't it? Do I want to trade for him? Yeah. Do I want to take on that term? No. Like, I don't want that part of it. So, you know, it's curious how to handle it. I guess if you're in the total win now window, listen, the Toronto Maple Leafs aren't winning the Stanley Cup if Colton Parayko comes to town. Okay, guys. But if Colton Parayko somehow fit into, I don't know, the Florida Panthers right now or the Colorado Avalanche for that matter, it's a different vibe, that trade, if you get my drift. So I don't think this ages well, Borny. If I don't know what side of the fence you're on there, but I don't think it ages well. And that would be my high-end reluctance to make a deal like that. I'd go down the Dumba cave before I went down that right now at 3-9 and see if Arizona can absorb some cash. I don't know how many contracts they've ate so far, because that's curious. You know, they've ate a lot of money over the years, so I don't know what they have left. But I'd go down those waters instead.
Is there any names out there that you feel like might have value for a team that, you know, maybe not on the radar? Not you know, I know we've been turning over every rock and most of the names are out there, but is this just anyone that you like more than you would say public consensus does?
Well, before Nash Vegas went on this run, I really like the Carrier kid on the back end there. You know, I really do. He's not a giant. He's like 5'11", buck 80, soaking wet, but he is hard to play against. Front sit, I bet you he's got 130 blocks. I haven't looked it up, but I bet you he does. Like, that's the way he plays. He's really hard to play against. It's not too often in the league anymore that you get a guy who's undersized, but he jumps out at guys and, you know, he blocks it quickly and effectively and can return to position. You know, like David Savard, that'd be a nice add, right, for a playoff team. But David Savard has to play between the dots. If he gets outside the dots chasing a defensive play, he gets his return to net front. He's got a delay in there, right, guys? He's not as fast as some of these other guys. Carrier does both. I really like that kid. I don't think that's going to happen now, right. but, you know, isn't that interesting? Because you know how guys like Jimmy Rutherford make deals early in the sequence or early in the trade season? I bet you he could have had maybe Carrier 2 weeks ago. You can't have him now.
Till they won 8 in a row or whatever it's been.
One more for me, Books, before we let you go. I know you're right back on the phones the moment we let you go. So I know that we talked about Gensel being linked to the Vancouver Canucks, but where are you on the pressure on Kyle Dubas in Pittsburgh to get this right here? Because he is really coming off of the Carlson trade that maybe had something to do with sinking their season. I'm not sure yet. We'll see how it completely plays out here, but he can't get this wrong on Gensel.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And here's where I am with it. I do believe that ownership there still felt like they gave him a mandate to a degree that we have to be the best version of ourselves with what we still have here. And so when he presented the Carlson option, they thought that that was going to be a good fit. Okay. But in the big picture, everybody the three of us know, I shouldn't speak for you guys. It didn't feel right when it happened to me. I'm like, are you serious? Like, this just doesn't feel right. I can go get two players for the cost of that. I need to improve this roster on the fringes. Fast forward to today, what we know, I think the market for Gensel is a small one. So I think he's actually lost a semblance of control over what that return is going to be. So Pittsburgh's in a pickle, fellas. They, The farm system's way below average. They do have a little bit of draft. I read recently where Kyle said he's got all this draft capital. I'd love to run into him at a pub and have a beer and look over his draft board, because that's not draft capital. You know, that's just not good enough. So they're in a tough spot. It's going to be interesting to see what the return is. And more importantly, I don't know if you guys noticed this or not, this is a concern of mine. When Pittsburgh was bad a long time ago, Kipper, you remember? Empty seats at the Igloo, right?
Before the lockout. Before Sid.
Yeah. I mean, empty seats. And last night, I think, was it CBJ last night? The building's half empty. I know it's CBJ, but it's still the Pittsburgh Penguins. So, I don't know. Huge task at hand there. A lot of lifting to do.
Hey, awesome stuff, man. Really appreciate your time always, Books.
Thanks, Books. That's good stuff.
Hey, no problem, fellas. Hey, we might have nothing to do on Friday, so I'll just come over and sit with Sammy in the corner on the couch and drink coffee, if that's okay.
Love buddy, it. Come hang. We'd love to have you.
All right. Go attack, Sammy. Owen Sound attack. Go attack. See you, fellas.
Thanks, bud.
He is Jason Bukla, former NHL scout and writer now with the Sportsnet.ca, and, of course, he's got the pro hockey group as well.
Yeah.
Attackers struggling.
Are they?
Yeah. Anyways.
Are we almost done the season?
Yeah, and they have a streak of, I think it's 13 straight 30-win seasons, which is, I think, a CHL record, because they're just always good, not great.
How many games do they play?
They play 62, but they're in danger of not hitting it. They've been struggling. But never know in the playoffs. We'll see.
And that has been your attack update.
Thank you.
All right, where do you want to go? To game?
You want to do game time, or do you want to do my...
You got any more trades?
I do have
Let's do it after the break. Let's do game time, then do the fake trade.
Okay, do the game time.
Okay, do the game time.
Do the time of games.
All right. It is, in fact, game time. Presented by Bet365. Visit the app for the latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Looking at the board for tonight, three massive favorites. The Buffalo Sabres are in Toronto to take on the Leafs. The Leafs are a huge favorite at minus 185. The Detroit Red Wings are in Colorado to take on the Avalanche, and the Ottawa Senators are in Anaheim to take on the Ducks. All minus one of them, Leafs are minus 180, Colorado is minus 190, and Ottawa is minus 190. If you parlay those three together,
the faves,
it is a plus 258, and I'm looking at you to tell me who screws me and why is it the Ottawa Senators?
That could be it.
Or is it the Leafs?
The Sabres have been, I mean, just dummying the Leafs. They've played
them
twice this year.
Would you like some stats on that?
Go ahead, please do.
The Sabres have won both their meetings with the Maple Leafs this season, outscoring them 15-7. 6-4 in the first one, 9-3 in the latest one. And the Sabres have won three straight games versus the Maple Leafs and six of their last eight meetings, going 6-2.
That's just ridiculous.
It's really not great, Bob.
So... in your parlay, my parlay here, that's not even a great number, but you think it's the Leafs that screws you and not the Sens?
No, I think no.
You're telling me the Leafs are going to lose two in a row going into Boston tomorrow night?
I'm not saying it's not going to happen.
But I think that there's a big-time overlook factor here for the Leafs and the Sabres.
Well, I mean, between the deadline and two Bruins games, it's tough to even be aware you're playing the Sabres at this point.
Yeah. So that's what I had here. And I was just looking at the NHL Central. Do you have the standings in front of you there, Borny?
I do.
The NHL Central Division. How far back are the Colorado Avalanche?
Colorado Avalanche are...
four.
Yeah, 4 points back, one game in hand on Dallas.
They are plus 360 to win that division.
Ooh, I like that.
Their trades they made today, you would have to say that they improved. You know, you can say what you say about Mittelstadt. Clearly, Books isn't the biggest fan of him, but I think that helps their center depth. He's definitely better than Johansson. They add Sean Walker, probably going to go on a bit of a run. If it's not bad value for them to win that division at plus 360.
I will note, to not offend our Jets viewers, that by points percentage, the Jets are the best team in the division. They're ahead of Dallas and Colorado. So,
did you watch the Dallas comeback off of San Jose last night? It was goofy.
Yeah.
They were done.
So I asked about that Stankoven kid. I like him.
Yeah.
He's got some...
His shoulder pad's way too big.
Oh, thank God you said it. He's like a football player.
No, his hockey style is not great.
He looks atrocious.
Looks like a bit of a Ninja Turtle. It's not great.
just carrying around. Think of Emmett Smith's shoulder pads and resume playing.
Anthony DeClaire looked okay last night.
Yeah,
I didn't mind him in Florida. Maybe he's just... Maybe I just noticed him too much because we were focused, obviously, on the Leaf Flyer second round. But I could see him moving somewhere.
He's a guy who, I mean, he scored 31 a couple of years ago. Yeah. We know he can skate. Like, that's always useful if you're a team that doesn't have useful guys in your bottom six. So.
Can I interest you in a Anthony Duclair, Jan Ruta package from the San Jose Sharks? Okay. Wow.
Couple of middling players off the worst team in the league.
I just heard some. Those are groans, boys. All right. And that was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds to find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we'll pick up a little bit more on the Pittsburgh Penguins because you only had the Sid Crosby trade with Mitch Marner earlier in our show.
Yeah, well, I may have something else after the break.
Do you have another one?
Potentially. We'll have to see.
All right, because I'm hearing stuff.
What are you hearing?
We're going to go pay some bills, and then we're going to come back and talk about
teams and things?
Yes.
Oh, I love that.
Yes. That is right. Kippy.
More.
After the break, stuff about things and teams.
There you go.
Hey, it's Ben Ennis.
And I'm Brent Gunning.
We got you covered on all things Leafs, Raptors, and Blue Jays every weekday morning, 6 to 9.
It's the Fan Morning Show, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. So, there seems to be some... There's maybe a bit of a momentum shift into a lot more focus on Sid Crosby.
Okay.
I'd say in the last little while here. And there seems to be a narrative out there that he wants to compete. He doesn't want to lose in the next 3 or 4 years. And there's some people, and I've had two different calls linking Sid to Colorado. Today. But I'll tell you right now that it's not from people that I believe that are in the know right now. Mm-hmm. It just seems to be there's an energy out there.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I'm starting to look around too. And then I see our good buddies on Missing Curfew say, are we on the verge of Sid Crosby leaving to chase another mug? I'm like, okay, that's...
So a third person saying something?
Like, I'm sticking to what I've said in our conversations in the past. I see this guy as a one-man organization, and I don't believe for 1 second that there's anything to it, but people think... And I think we might hear a little bit more of this even when Jake Guentzel gets traded.
Well, they're not, to be clear, it's not going to happen before Friday. So, like a Sid.
Don't look at me like I have the answer because I'm telling you right now I don't.
Why are you making that clear?
Because, I mean, you're going to trade one of the goats in the history of the league to in 2 days with no smoke? I don't know. Crazy to me.
What I have heard was just that the Guentzel thing is not something he wants to happen, right? Like that's a good player that they have and competitive guy who still thinks they can make the playoffs and whatever. Do they play tomorrow? What would an L do for them tomorrow to push them over the line that this year's a write-off?
They have
interesting food for thought.
They've made attempts.
Who's made attempts?
Kyle Dubas. Multiple attempts to sign Jake Guentzel.
Right. Guentzel does not want to do that.
Well, I think he will if...
They give him all the money.
Yeah, but is Jake Guentzel in a position now where he rethinks about it? Like, Sid's a 90-100 point guy, and it's not like you think he's going to fall off the face of the earth next year either.
Buddy, this can't happen. Kyle Dubas cannot take over the Pittsburgh Penguins and 4 months later, trade Jake Guentzel and Sidney Crosby. That can't happen. That won't happen.
Would you like to hear my Sidney Crosby fake trade that I came up with?
We have one for you if you're interested.
Look, love it.
Colorado has two firsts in the next 3 years, which, you know, you'd burn. Would you trade everything? Trade the Rocky Mountains?
I don't know. Again, if Sid specifically wants to go anywhere, it automatically devalues
the price. Yeah, it's a bidding war.
Right? Exactly. You're now in a position where this guy saved your organization.
I bet you Penguins could get Casey Mittelstadt back.
Right? You're not in a position to completely hoard here. Mm. This is about whatever Sid wants.
I tell you, I want it to
be honest with you.
Not because I want Pittsburgh to lose Sid or I want drama. I want Sidney Crosby in the playoffs. I want to see him win more cups.
I don't want sad Sid.
No, and I also,
can I tell you something?
I take back the thing I just said. I do want the drama.
I saw a sad Sid the other night.
Against Edmonton.
Sidney Crosby?
He's got his head in his hands, bud.
Listen to me. That is a horrific look for the National Hockey League.
Horrible.
If this guy, for the first time I've ever seen Sid Crosby, I saw no hope in him. And that's a bad thing.
The Illuminati's going to make it happen. The league wants it. Want him out of there.
So, having said all this, I'll present to you my fake trade.
Please.
You know who has a lot of great history with Sidney Crosby? Multiple cups? Jimmy Rutherford. He runs the Vancouver Canucks.
Okay.
A lot of connections there. Vancouver Canucks going for it, looking to make trades. Sidney Crosby to the Vancouver Canucks for their first-round pick in 2025. Tom Willander, who is their top prospect, guy that they're, you know, 6'1", right shot, Swedish defenseman. Okay. And then Brock Besser and Nils Höglander for Sidney Crosby.
So if I'm Kyle Dubas, I'm saying you've traded me, I think it's pronounced, is it Vilander pronounced? Yeah. Or is it whatever, Vilander, first. Höglander, fine. Besser, okay. You know, right? Like if you're Pittsburgh, no.
Okay.
I want
two firsts.
Who's the best player not in the NHL? That's the guy I want, you know. Two firsts, yeah.
No, it's got to be futures and prospects. Like you can't trade for Sid. And then
the trade is one for one.
You can't. It's just about
Tom Willander, one of the top prospects outside the NHL. Two first round picks.
It's a good deal
for
Sid.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Pitt should bite on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's your future coming up.
Trades.
That's your future coming up. Okay.
That Kipper likes.
Let's put Sid in a Toronto Maple Leaf uniform right now. Okay.
Sid in a Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect for Marner. Done.
No, it's stupid. See, you went from actually being okay intelligence to just being a dumb man. like that.
We need that drop, by the way. No, Derek's not here, Tristan.
Okay, put him in the uniform for me. Walk me through what it would take.
Two first rounders and Cowan.
I mean, if I'm Pittsburgh now, I'm listening because...
Oh, my God, done.
Two is this, first in here.
What are we talking about here?
What else? Sid is 8.7 this year and next.
Yeah, that is worth it. That is, like, you're getting a premier leader in the history of the game, still in his prime.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's Sidney Crosby.
What else? Okay, two first rounders, Cowan, and what else?
Bobby McMahon, I think. Got to throw in there.
God.
Sprinkle in a little McMahon.
You just... You bought a car. You're not losing it because because of the mats. Okay,
I would throw in literally anything.
Yeah,
please.
You know, windshield
wiper fluid.
It's funny watching what Leo Messi did for Inter Milan. You know Miami.
Putting Sid in Vancouver or Toronto would rock the hockey world.
Rock it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, any Canadian team. Put them.
No, I don't want him in Ottawa right now.
You don't want him on
I don't want him in Montreal right now.
No.
Edmonton's got 97.
Mm-hmm.
They just paid for Scheifele, so they're not going shopping for Sid. It's Vancouver or Toronto.
Any Sid trade would rock the hockey world, regardless of where he goes. Like him going to Colorado would rock the hockey world.
Yeah.
Rock it.
So.
Okay. Well, hey, listen. Anything's possible. Gretzky got traded, you know, as the expression goes.
I'll say another thing, too, is I was adamant a week ago, 2 weeks ago, that this guy's going to finish. When I saw him coming off of these tough losses in Calgary and Edmonton, I'm like, Sid, you want 3 more years of this?
I don't think Sid is emotionally ready to go play for another hockey club.
Like, you are the ultimate hockey 24/7. You live it, you breathe it.
You know,
and you're going to breathe three or four years of what Kyle's cooking right now?
Yeah, well, if that happens, then Pittsburgh is tearing her down, right? Like, you're tearing it down. You know, you're not winning a cup with Malkin and Letang at the heart of your team.
So I don't think it's going to happen, but it's more realistic today than it was for me yesterday.
You know, you look at these guys who are players for life. They're one team for life, and then the team's no good, and Patrick Kane goes, I can't do this, or the team decides, like, it's not whatever, and all of a sudden he goes to Detroit, looks pretty good. You know, Brett Favre went and played for the Minnesota Vikings.
But everybody does. Gretzky, Messier.
Only though Mario did.
Except for Mario.
I love people throwing the Sid trades now. Yeah. 2 first-round picks, Ethan Cowan, Liljegren, and Martin Jones for Crosby.
And Buick.
But Mario, go find his chart, okay? So he still had, in the 90s, Jagr. You know, he had some good players around him. And then there was that little window. He went away, mm-hmm. and then he comes back, and lo and behold, he's playing with the next you
mm-hmm. yeah, for the league. Yeah, 05, 06, right? He played with Sid. He played
with Sid. And now, like, you've got purpose, and you've got hope, and you've got growth. Sid doesn't have that.
No. Was it cash, hope, and jobs? You got nothing. Yeah.
Just $100 mil and the best life ever.
Yeah.
But not fun going to the rink now
all
for
right.
him.
Well, hey, listen, that is food for
all
thought.
Right. Food for thought.
I support Rutherford and Tree Living phoning Kyle.
And saying, come on, hand him over.
Come on.
Just trade him.
Hey.
Trade the gold to me.
All right.
You traded for Carlson.
Yeah,
come on.
True.
You can do anything.
Not afraid to swing big anyway.
I mean, not to turn news and notes back into bash Kyle time, but just not a great summer, you know? Didn't put them in the right position. They had cap space.
Yeah.
And he spent it on bad things.
They had some bad deals on the
books.
He
got 7 years?
For sure they had, but they...
6 years contract?
Raquel contracts.
They spent, but they spent $25 million on... Kristen Jarry, Carlson, and Ryan Graves, or $20 million on those three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they had to move guys out, which, you know, they got rid of Granlund off the books. Yeah. And what do you want, Granlund, by the way? He's available.
Yeah. My goodness.
All right,
but it's back before, the feeling in Pitt is like it's as bad as it was before Sid showed up. Just right in that small little window where it was like, and then they pick number one and they've never looked back.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, what else we got? Sandin.
Yeah, Sandin sent a contract extension. Rather large one.
Who are they bidding against? Even $4.5 million for 5 years?
Is it 4.5?
Yes.
It's a five-year, $23 million
contract.
You can't.
$5 million.
You can't predict
million.
What he's going to do out there.
And what does he do? Like, he's not an offensive producer. He's not a defensive stalwart.
They are so hung up on getting new defense. That's what I heard.
Washington is.
Yes. So, and that's why they're in talks on Chychrun too.
Washington is.
Yes.
You think Jensen out, like they'll turn over a couple of bodies there.
So they've got Carlson and...
He's at the end of his.
Fairway?
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Fever. Yeah, I know
that's
the guy.
That's it? That's all they have?
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
General Manager Brian McClellan said he would like to add young players to the mix even while selling, similar to the trade he made for the Maple Leafs for Sandin. Getting high picks and flipping them could still happen before the trade deadline Friday. That would be ideal, McClellan said this week. That's the type of thing we're looking to do. Yes.
It's like AI generated.
You read that better than Game Time.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, they always said I'm a great reader.
So that's an interesting contract. Actually, let me say, correct the interesting part. That's too much money. Just the odds of him outperforming that contract, which is the point when you sign someone to 5 years, are basically nil. Like, he might give you the value if he stays healthy, which he also hasn't done a ton. So that's a weird one. And then Nick Seeler signed to stay in Philly. That contract is a 4-year deal for $2.7 million per year.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know,
see, there's... That
don't mind the dollar amount.
No, don't mind it at all. And the analytics are great on him.
Yeah.
So
he just hasn't been this guy. He's been a third pair guy, right? He's played. He's 29 years old.
But that will hold its value.
I think so too.
And you can flip that anytime you want.
Is it legal to sign contracts that are no trade? Did he not get some sort of coverage?
Oh, it's allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Seems like everyone gets one these days.
Sorry, not to go back to Sid, but we just got a text that Sid may never play another playoff game right now.
Yeah, that's actually a fair point. If you look at Pittsburgh's arc, what reason do you have to believe that next year they're a better team? How are they improved?
Sorry to go back to it, but that just like hit me like a load of bricks.
Well, I mean, they lose Jeff Carter. There's $3 million they can spend. Jansen Harkins makes nothing. They don't lose anyone who makes anything this year. So,
and he's still shooting pucks in the net. And he's still turning his hand over on a faceoff.
That was pretty nasty.
That was nasty.
I don't know how they're supposed to get better. Raquel has 4 more years after this at $5 million.
I wonder what they...
Riley Smith. They must trade. They'll trade Riley Smith this year. He's gone.
What about their head coach, Sullivan? Like, this guy, I don't know.
Dubas came in and said he's not going, not going anywhere, basically.
Well, he may have as much or more power with the Fenway group than even Kyle. Fenway group loves them.
Yeah.
Loves the coach.
Yes, loves the coach.
That's an interesting dynamic.
I wonder if they would outright sell. I wonder if they would look at selling. Like, Jeff Carter want to go play somewhere, you know, as a centerman at 39 years old.
Oh, they should be selling. But anyways.
I don't know. I mean, is there going to be a demand for Jeff Carter?
No.
Yeah.
So by the time we come on the air tomorrow, how many more trades do you think we'll have had?
I think we'll see some tonight. Is there some...
not a lot of teams playing tonight.
Is there
only three games?
A few predictions that Guentzel will be gone by tonight?
Well, there was the rumor that they wanted to wrap this up by tonight. You know, it's funny, with all the different, like, moving parts that have to go into trades now because of the flat salary cap, you don't have time during the one day to do this, and it's just sort of expanded backwards. Last year, there were 16 trades in the 2 days leading up to trade deadline. So we're at 6 or whatever already. I would imagine we'll see more trades tonight. And
there'll always be a handful of those trades where you're like, okay, where did he play? Who is he?
Oh, yeah.
Give me a bio on him, please. Does he shoot left?
Yeah, that's always the tough part. can't follow every single guy in the league.
Yeah,
we may get a few surprises here as well.
Hope so. Hope the least surprises.
Few surprises to go. Tarasenko, I don't think we talked about this in the NHL hour. Any reason to think that, I don't know, I we're blaming the poor return on the no trade. Is that kind of the consensus Books was implying?
Yeah, that there's limited opportunities for, I think, Ottawa to max out a deal. Yeah. And either he stays the rest of the season or he moves to Florida, I would imagine. But outside of that, he's not a premier scorer anymore. He's there to add depth to the organization. And if he plays nicely in the sandbox, and it appears that, you know, he's got the blessing of Bobrovsky, who probably runs the show there in many ways, one of the leaders. If he's happy, he's down there and they can hang out. Maybe it's a nice mix.
There you go. We'll wait and see. I got to go to TV. Leafs Sabres.
All right.
Oh, you're on the TV tonight?
I'm on the telly.
Vizio. Awesome.
Wow. That broadcast got a whole lot more handsome, buddy.
I'm debating on whether to go or not.
To the game?
Oh, yeah. Why not? Go see the Leafs lose to the Sabres. It'll be fun.
I just get tired. And I got a little stuffy nose.
is that from Slapshot?
Thanks to Jason Bukala and Brad May. And we're back tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show.